Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card in. I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Oh, what a massive Friday Form Focus it is, too. It is good to be back on Friday Form Focus. I gave you the keys for 1 week, Mick Sharkey, and word had crossed over to New Zealand that it became an absolute, I don't know what the word is.
It was loose.
Disarray? This is what I heard went on last week when you were in charge with Guesty.
You're asking me, will my love grow? I don't know.
He struggles on that high note, doesn't he?
Oh, that is awful. Guesty's a very good singer. What did you do to him?
There was a tremor. Look, it's fair to say I had him shook, as they say, in the first 30 seconds. You know, as often, I stump you from time to time. I think that's well aware. But I detect a little spring in your step post-New Zealand.
What gorgeous country.
What wonder, you know, 4 days away from the children gorgeous does for country. A young couple. Hey, look at you. You just bounced in. You've got rid of the terrible cardigan that you were wearing in some of those pictures. And there was also a disturbing amount of vision of you with no shirt on and a pair of budgie smugglers.
No, there was no budgies. I'm not a budgie man. Do you know New Zealand smugglers. Is so far in the rear vision mirror, it's not even something we can remember.
You
we look forward.
Faced death last week and now you're back.
We look forward. We look forward on Friday Form Focus.
Extreme Velgi.
We want to earn some more money to head back to New Zealand and pay for babysitters so we don't have to take the kids. So we need plenty of winners tomorrow at Caulfield. What a meeting. Oh, I'm loving the meeting tomorrow. From the diamond to the plate, the futurity and the undercard. So many good races with good horses involved.
Great program.
Are you gonna say it?
Well, of course I'm going to tip the card. You know that. But I'm just... There's a lot of favourites tomorow that people are just sort of looking at and going,
Nick Quinn thinks he's going to tip the card.
I'm going to just kind of.
So you're putting these favourites.
Take on a couple of them, just slightly, conceding that they can win. But I like to just work, swim. You know, just slightly against the tide.
You do,
Michael.
In all things in life.
I just like to sort of just get off the track.
We're going to start with the Blue Diamond. I want to go through each and every runner, get your thoughts, and then we'll go through the entire card. We're going to have a chat to a couple of the leading trainers. We'll also have a chat to Richard Litt because the Hobartville is an interesting race as well. But first of all, had a great day out at Caulfield yesterday in Kieran Maher's stables and saw Jason Kerr out there. He'd been walking the track.
With the going
Blue Steel.
We haven't got him doing
it. Has nothing on the look that Jason Kerr gave yesterday.
I assumed he's on a fashion runway somewhere this weekend after that photo.
Well, I believe that there will be a new calendar coming out. The man of tracks. And I think we've got Mr. November joining us now. Jason Kerr. How are you, Jason?
Very well, thank you, gentlemen. I haven't seen the shot, but I'm sure I've come up well in it.
It's gone viral. You need to get it.
Yeah.
You do look outstanding.
See, the phone's ringing again. There you go. That's Gucci or somebody ringing up for a book in.
As the track dried up since yesterday, you were confident we'd be getting to a good four by the start of play. What are we looking at today?
Yeah, I still think we're on track, Michael. We've had 2 mils of rain overnight, so it's sort of they did forecast that, so we're sort of hoping to miss that. But we've got a couple of mils overnight. I think that's the last of it. They're saying a clear afternoon and a nice day tomorrow. So I still think we're on track to get to a good four at some stage during the day. May not be first thing in the morning, but if it's still soft in the morning, I think with a day forecast, it'll get to a good four at some stage in the day.
All right. And you're still confident that the inside won't be any disadvantage, especially by the time the diamond comes around?
No, certainly. I think probably the rain's the key to that. We've sort of had a little bit of luck with the rain getting it earlier in the week and then a little bit last night. But I think if we get onto that good four, that inside holds up pretty well. It's pretty much fresh ground. There's a little bit of marking on it from the previous meeting, but essentially it's fresh ground. So I think given a bit of luck with the weather, I think it'll race pretty well.
All right. Good luck tomorrow, Jace. We'll see you out there with our live broadcast.
Thanks, gents.
Jason Kerr joining us there from Caulfield. All right, Sharky, let's get stuck into it. And we will start with a feature, which is the Neds Blue Diamond, the 50th running of the Blue Diamond. And what a cracking field we have. Are you in the camp or against the camp of the favourite Hanseatic with Barry at number one?
Look, I think he's the best horse in the race. I think we all would be of that opinion on what we've seen from him so far. But, you know, they're two-year-olds and funny things can happen. There are a couple of horses here that I think are also exceptional. One of them being Rulership, who I think will be a better chaser. You know, we've seen him basically in front at his two starts to date at Randwick and Caulfield, and Hanseatic only just got him last time. I think if he's got a bunny
did
to
give
chase...
him a lot of ground, though, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I think with a bunny to chase, though, something to take him into the race a bit deeper, I think Rulership may well be a different horse. The other one that has been completely forgotten about, and I think she's the best filly in the race, is Personal, number 13. Massive win at Flemington. She only got balanced and clear. She basically checked back to last. Balanced and clear from about the 200. That's probably being generous. And she flew home and won by half length, going away from them. Has since trialled really, really well with the blinkers on. David Hayes is sort of making comparisons to Miss Finland. And you're copping $20? Oh, I'll have some of that. Thank you.
Well, he's got a remarkable record in the Diamond as well. He's trained 6 winners. And he's also trained 3 Quinellas in the race.
Yeah.
So he knows what
huge
it takes
record
to win a Diamond.
Hanseatic's, without doubt, the horse to beat, probably wins, but who wants me to sit here and say a $2.40 chance is
going to be? Well, it's at $2.50 now. What price do you think they will bet tomorrow, Hanseatic? You've got to take it on, don't you?
Do you know
the
what?
The bookmakers?
A day like tomorrow, it totally... I reckon much will depend on how
the early favourites gets rolled.
If Pandemic wins, if Miami Bound wins, if Just Benjamin win, if Spanish Reef is able to win, I think punters will just look at Hanseatic and say, well, let's keep the good times rolling here. And the money will come for him hard.
All right, let's get a quick word on all of them. Ideas Man, Kieran May yesterday said he's the forgotten horse of his 6 runners.
Yeah, he's a nice colt. The Moonee Valley win on debut was great. Mildred run, just okay.
$61.
Yeah, no, look, it wasn't a run that screamed, I'm going to win the Blue Diamond next start.
So you're leaving him out?
Leaving him out.
Hanseatic, obviously, is the one to beat. Rathlin, another one from Kieran Maher, Dave Eustace. And I thought he was a good run last start. If you're going to give that form line, the Hanseatic Rulership form line, as the form line to beat, you've got to be putting Rathlin in the mix, don't you?
Yeah, really solid horse, Rathlin. He's right there in the mix of, you know, sort of a Group 2 to Group 3 class colt at the moment. Probably just lacks that little bit with the very best.
He's $21.
We Tanker? Need them to something to go against them.
Tanker's a big price, $61.
Yeah. Look, I thought he'd improve last start, and he did. It was a much better run in the prelude than the preview, but once again, probably needs to find gears that he doesn't have.
Tagaloa's drawn beautifully, comes through that same form line. He's $19.
Good colt. I'm waiting for the blinkers to go on him.
Mm-hmm. Personal, you've said that's in the betting. I'll go through number
Rulership,
horse number
Rulership. Without doubt, can win. He just I would love to see him with a little sit, you know, settling third, fourth, fifth, something like that. So he's able to chase, peel off a back and chase. You know, I wouldn't be judging Rulership v Hanseatic on the one clash they've had so far and just saying, oh, Hanseatic's a better horse.
We'll have a chat to Paul Snowden because it'll be interesting to find out how much improvement because they peak on the big days.
They do. They
all
sure
of Snowden's
do.
Runners. Glenfiddich, 71.
Probably not good enough.
Away Games, one of the interesting runners. The Magic Millions winner, $11.
$11 about a Magic Millions winner who's won her last 3. And the Widden Stakes win, there was nothing wrong with that. She was challenged, responded, and cleared right out from them at the end. I thought it was a great win. She's in the mix, could definitely see her running top 4.
A Beautiful Night's drawn well. I don't know whether she's got the ability, even though she's well performed, to be in the top 4 or 5.
Yeah, look, got the win in the preview, probably caught a couple of the others, maybe at the 1,000 metres. She was really solid in the prelude. But again, I think there's other nice filly, but there's others better here.
REF, another one from the Hayes Dabernick camp who's done little wrong.
I think she's really going to appreciate getting to 1,200 metres. I know she's a 1,000-metre winner, but in both of her runs so far, it's looked like she wants that more ground to me. I can see her closing off really strongly here and another with a top-four chance at big odds.
Let's Be Glam is the best back runner in the race, especially out of the favourite. It's into $6.50, opened up at $9, drawn beautifully, was devastating in the prelude and ran quicker time than Hanseatic.
Yeah, she did. Dominant win there. Was spec 2, 31s into 26. Absolutely no knock on the win. Montessera, arguably, we're going to talk about her next, arguably a little unlucky not to get close to her. If she gets out when she wants to or when Luke Curry wants to, does she even possibly beat Let's Be Glam? It's all hypothetical. Both those horses, I think, are in the game, but they'd probably need something to, you know, a bit of bad luck or for rulership of Hanseatic Personal not to show up.
Yeah, well, Montessera, both Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace have said she's the number one seed of their six.
Yeah, I agree. Can see why. Rosehill Wynn was brilliant. She was very good down the straight behind RAF. A lot of these form lines, remember, they tie in from the spring, and it's no shock to see the better ones continuing through that, you know, that common path, that common form line, you know, RAF, Montessera, etc. You know, the form's all standing up. I think anything around those sort of fillies, you're going to be in the finish.
And Personal, your number one, is are you putting her on top at the value?
Look, at $19, I'll definitely be backing her. I don't know if she's on top, but I think she's a very, very good filly, and she will run a monster race here.
What about the stablemate, Riverina Storm? Currently, it's one of the big-priced runners, 51 into 41.
Tried her butt off behind Let's Be Glam, but ultimately probably found herself too far back and in an awkward spot. Closing splits were good. One of those in that second tier, I think, for me.
All right. 15 scratched and difficult. May find it that.
I think it will. Yeah. Good luck to the Shannons and the Maloneys getting it into the field and having a go. But, yeah, I think there are others better.
All right. The Blue Diamond. Give us your top four. Are you with the fave, even though you think Personal's the value in the race?
Well, I think, yeah, Hanseatic and Rulership, I don't think there is anything between them. And I think that will show out tomorrow. Personal's the other one in the race that I think is a leading contender. Those three, if you wanted to throw a fourth in, tag a lower. But I'm more than happy to run with Hanseatic, Rulership, Personal in the quaddie.
All right. Just on the barrier one with Hanseatic, from your speed map, where do you have him landing?
Probably, look, if he wants to be, he could be midfield. Luke Curry, the horse actually does jump well. It's just where he's found himself in with speed in his races over shorter trips that others have been quicker in the first section. I think he probably ends up midfield, maybe a touch worse. Blue Diamonds, by this stage of the day too, remember it's race 7. I reckon they will just peel off the corner a little bit with runners trying to get clear air. And I think he'll find his way through Hanseatic. I'm not sort of seeing, oh, he's going to run into traffic here, there and everywhere. Because there is enough speed in this race to keep the field spread just enough to give everything their chance.
All right. It's going to be interesting. I don't think there's any doubt Hanseatic on what we've seen is the best horse in the race. Rulership's not far behind, but luck's going to play a very, very big part in the Blue Diamond tomorrow. That's the look at the feature. The Blue Diamond will wind back to race number one now. We'll go through in race book order. Gee, I'm excited about this first race. Yeah. Usually the first race on these big days can be a little ho-hum. Not tomorrow. We've got a couple of really nice international gallopers. Just Benjamin, who got the job done last start, even though he didn't look like he was that happy leading. He's $2.30. He's getting in really tight now. Actow is at $2.90. There wasn't much between them last start. And then you've got Future Score, Takabachi. And another one I think that's going to improve tomorrow, even though he was probably flat first up, is Beau Balmain, which is around about $19 as well. How did you see the first?
It's interesting, isn't it? An open handicap at 2,000 metres, no black type on offer, and five of the 11 started their life in Europe. So it tells you exactly where we're at with middle distance horses in this country. Actow, Just Benjamin. Not much between them. It's a rematch from that race at Caulfield 2 or 3 weeks ago when Just Benjamin led. I don't think that's the way to ride him. I think Oliver just took advantage of no speed in that race and wanted to control things. The horse responded really well when under pressure, quickened up nicely from the 400. It was a good run and a really good tough win. I think had Actow been afforded clear running from the top of the straight, I think he might get even closer than the sub-half length that he ran Just Benjamin to. He did give the horse 2 kilos on that occasion. He meets him 2 kilos better. Against him here, though, is gate one. Had he drawn a better gate or slightly, you know, off the fence, 3, 4, 5, something like that, I'd be really keen on Akhtar. I've still got him on top, marginally, from Just Benjamin. I think they'll both be midfield or just off, and they'll probably come with their runs together. Just hope Akhtar sees daylight and isn't held up again, because he's a horse that needs to build momentum. He's a big, long stride.
You think he'd be better at Flemington, don't you?
Oh, without a doubt. There is an engine there, though, a serious engine. I love that Pondus form line through the UK. I've got a bit of time for Pondus, so I think he brings the stronger form lines from Europe. Just Benjamin, though, he's proven here, he's a winner here. He's beaten Akhtar in their one meeting today. There's not much between them.
All right, so you're going for a bit of value. Well the outsider of the two favourites, yeah. He's at $2.
I think one of the two will probably win. And in the horse you mentioned, Beau Balmain, he will definitely improve into this run. But I think third up, fourth up, that's when we'll see this horse really peak and be ready to win.
Race two is the Autumn Classic, and this is going to be a good clash between the Oaks winner, Miami Bound, who returns first up, and Adelaide Ace, who, I really enjoyed his run. I thought he was very good behind Microphone and Banquo, who were two very smart three-year-olds. And then you got Nonconformist, who's the new horse on the scene, who's just continuing to improve. Miami Bound's $2.60. Adelaide Ace has been well back during the week. It opened up longer odds than around about $3.30, $3.40. It's into $3. Nonconformist is at $6. Are you with the filly first up, or those with a bit of fitness on their side?
I'm with the fitter horses. Miami Bound, reading Danny O'Brien's comments during the week, she might only have a two or three run prep, but be looking to peak second and third up. So I've got that in the back of my mind. I don't think we've seen many Group 1 winners, let alone Oaks winners, resume through this race in the past. So she's got a big class edge on the average quality of horse that comes through this autumn stakes in years past. So definitely a big factor. I think she'll run well. I just haven't seen enough in those jump outs that she's had to say, oh, she's ready to come out and win over 18. Nonconformist, I want to have a look at it in the yard. It's been up for a while and I'm mindful of that in its first prep. It's been up since late November, or racing since late November. I've got a lot of time for this horse. I think there's untapped potential there. That win over the mile last time in a slow run race, where previously we'd seen the horse sort of settle back off them a little bit and finish off. He was good enough, Jordan Charles, to put the horse into an aggressive position outside the leader, controlled the race, and then the way he quickened up that last 300, I think that was the mark of a good horse, rather than just a horse that had a good run on speed in a slow run race. He really quickened away from them well. I've got him on top, just hoping he hasn't tucked up and he's still there at his best in the yard pre-race. Adelaide Ace, the Microphone form line's really strong, hard to beat here. I think he's found his price, though. Just thinking there's a little bit of value with Nonconformist at that $6.
All right. The other one that I think has got a lot of ability is Rebel Racer. She never should have won that race at the Valley last start, should it? And it was really nice. Maybe a class gap between Nonconformist or Adelaide Ace, yeah, and most definitely Miami Bound. But
yeah,
Rebel Racer looks like a horse, the further it goes, the better it will be.
It's looking like a South Australian Derby horse to my eye, Rebel Racer. I'm wondering if that's the way they go with it. It'd be a nice little link there through the side, Rebel Raider going to that race. But yeah, I think at the moment he's looking a stayer of great promise, but probably just might lack the class, I'm thinking, at this point of the game against this quality of horse.
All right, race number three is the Zetative Stakes. Keep those SMSs coming through too. There's a lot of Mick Sharkey love coming through at the moment. 0416905052. If Shark doesn't tip the card tomorrow, then surely he never will. Just back Bold Star as an upset, mate. That's from Mark.
Best
good on you, Mark.
In the Oakley Plate, Mark.
You just asked if the track was going to dry up with the track manager. I wish Shark would. As for singing tipsters, leave it to the no-talent shows. Looking forward to hearing about the races. That's from Tony, who doesn't like your banter.
Tony, I don't know. You need to lighten up, Tone.
another chill. One here.
Friday.
Asking about Rathlin, had to switch off rulership, beaten half a length. I think it's going to be hard to beat. I think you put him in the mix, Rathlin, didn't
you? Yeah, he's roundabouts.
Let's Be Glam, three wide all the way, a second faster than the Colts. Why isn't she the number one seed?
Why isn't she?
David Hayes, when he had six runners in the diamond, did he train the winner? That's from Len N.
I can't remember,
he
Len.
He did, because that was a
was
year.
Was it Nadine? No.
Catchy.
Catchy. Oh, Catchy, that's right.
And he
oh.
ran third with Formality as
God
well.
God bless Catchy. Gee, that was a good day.
Yeah, a fill-up for quite
sure
a few.
Was.
Good morning. I'm a bit concerned with away game. We took $21 and was happy with that after her latest win, but following the form, that horse ran second, got beaten during the week in a maiden. One, should I be worried? Two, should I be backing Barbaric at 51 in the slipper? That's from Tony.
Barbaric. The horse that Tony speaks of, Sentimental.
Yeah, got beaten by Barbaric on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it got beaten on a soft track too. So I don't know if we read a lot into that form when the young horses are going from good decks to rain-affected decks. She's run second Sentimental to two really good ones on top of the ground, Sansi and Away Game. I think there's a fair old engine there.
All right, and your mate, Luke from Shepparton.
He's bubble boy.
Back again. He says, Sharky, I got your T-shirt. Thanks, but I still want a day out with you and Brad. Plus, I've got the bubble guns for your kids. So
I appreciate that, Luke.
Just send them to RSN because I'll give one to my girls as well,
exactly.
Luke.
We'll divvy them up, Luke.
Luke from Shepparton.
Gee, do you know what I love hearing from Luke? Because he wants to spend a day with me. That's great. I think he's really overstated how exciting my life may or may not be.
I can vouch for that.
What's going on, Luke?
Luke, don't. It's not worth the trip from Shep. I'll give you the tip. Race number three is the Zenitive Stakes. Only a small field. Pandemic's in tight. Even money. Spend. Do we know where Spend's going in the end? It's at $4.60. Express Pass $5.50. Did you hear the push from Sam Freeman Groundswell? $7.
No, what did he say?
Well, he said, just totally disregard its last start because it was on the wet track. If it was first up, it would probably be a $3 chance. He tipped Groundswell to beat Super Seth first up last start.
Dear idea.
Is Pandemic an even money pop?
On potential, on face value, I can see why he's a short favourite, but even money, I'm just a little bit wary. First time round Caulfield. Barrier one, horse that gets back. I'm not exactly frothing to take the $2. He can win the race. I just think I expect Spend will run here.
It's been scratched from the Hobart.
Yeah, on a better deck. They're looking for good ground with this horse. He is yet to see a good track. They keep backing this horse like he is a very good horse. He's trialed and jumped out and whatever throughout his whole life like a very good horse. They backed him in the Manfred. You know, to beat Super Seth, I want to back this horse tomorrow to cause a little upset at around the $4 mark. Or
you think
he
won on a heavy eight?
Sheer class got him through in that heavy eight. And True Detective, as he flashed home behind Pandemic first up, his Spend was never comfortable on that heavy eight track, and he just got there because he was better than them. In the Manfred, he just couldn't quicken. He was in a great spot. When he was asked to let down on the wet ground, he didn't. Yet he still was staying on, was only four lengths from them. I am really, really keen. I know it's weird with the amount of good horses we have racing tomorrow, but I'm really keen to see Spend on top of the ground. I think he might be something. And I'm going to back him, Mike.
Well, you've got 460.
I'm going to have something on him. Groundswell will definitely improve on top of the ground. Blinkers go on. They are desperate to get a group win with this horse, given his pedigree. You know, this is as good a chance as any that he's going to have to win a Group 3. He's going to need something a little bit better on his CV if he's going to be at a commercial stallion. But you've got to start somewhere. He could definitely improve. Express Pass, great down the straight. He's just been a little bit short of the best three-year-olds. I think there might be a couple of good ones here too in Pandemic and Spend. He might just come up short again, Express Pass, but a nice horse. On with Spend.
All right. Groundswell, no interest from you?
Wouldn't shock me if he improved and won, but to date, he's managed to find one or two better than him each time. Form lines are great. Super Seth, Alligator Blood, they're all fantastic form lines. He's won one race, and that was a Geelong maiden.
Surely Pandemic's going to get it. He's a very good horse, and I know it's only a small field, but he's drawn one.
Yeah.
He's going to need some luck.
Look, I know that.
First look at Caulfield.
There is something about Godolphin horses that are winning and going through their grades. We saw the same with Catalan or whatever she was called last week. They're just short in the market because people know they're well bred.
She was a big
run.
They've
got talent. Cummings will have them well and truly spot on for the run. But I just reckon you take that little bit of unders each time with a horse like this from Godolphin.
Yep, no doubt about that. All right, so the Shark is with Spend.
Yes.
He'll be spending up big, currently 460, race number three. That's the Zetative. We'll take a break on the other side of this. We'll come back with the Mannerism, and we'll look at the other Group 1s on a stunning day of racing at Caulfield.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Zetative's looking for a run and has got it. Vitalik about six starting to run and he hasn't let Zetative go yet. At the 200 and Zetative has cantered up the prey for Colleen. Vitalik getting out, starting to run home from Nanyatara. He goes for home on Zetative. He's quickly got it won. Zetative's going to win the Blue Diamond. Battle for the Miners. Vitalik a mighty...
Oh, he was a beast. I was only a young kid and I remember Zetative, the big chestnut, trained by Angus Armanasco, ridden by G Hall, winning the 88 Blue Diamond. I think one of the best 2-year-olds that has ever won the Blue Diamond. Sharky, you would have been even younger than me. Do you remember seeing videos of Zetative?
What year was that?
88.
Yeah, I was 5. I can remember.
Have you seen videos?
I can remember Marty the Monster.
Oh, good God.
I can't remember Zetative. They were both orange.
They were
by
both
memory.
Big beasts.
They were both big beasts, and I think they were orange.
He was a star, Zetative.
Yeah, no, I can't remember Zetative, but I take your word for it, old man.
Not that old. Hang on, 88.
Well, you're 44, aren't you?
88.
How old was I?
88. Is there that much of a difference between us?
Have you turned 40 yet?
No, 88 I was 11. So, gee whiz. All right.
So you have turned 40?
Yeah.
Where's mine?
I know, you wouldn't think because I've got more hair and yours is going grey as well.
Did you get invited to the 40th, Mikey? No. No, neither did I. Yeah. Okay.
Important people only. As
we
are
we
up
sit.
To race number 4, which is the Mannerism. And speaking of important people,
Simon Zara get invited to your
40th? What about the effort of Simon Zara to get the Maltese Mafia behind Aristia voted into the All-Star Mile, which was announced yesterday? How are you, Simon?
Very good, mate.
You've done well.
Yeah, we sent an email to the island of Malta and they've responded well. I think the whole population, 5,000, is voted.
Well, the plan so far has come off. How is she going?
Pretty glowing to her report, really. Look, her two jump outs this time in has been probably as good as ever, and really quite sharp this time in. And normally she's a little bit dour and sort of just hits the line and. Look, her jump out last Friday was terrific, and Damien just commented it's the best she's ever felt. And even mentally, you know, like last time in, or, you know, most of the last couple of years, she couldn't even go into a boxing catch to take two or three people to get her. And this time in, she's just happy to participate in that and just seems a lot more mature mentally. So, all in all, I don't think we've got this mare going any better than she has been. So, we're pretty happy where she's at.
Given the way the campaign was working towards the All-Star Mile, you would have been fairly confident making the field a little way out, given how the votes were sitting. Can we assume?
Yeah,
she's
look, obviously, it's you know, like she's Group One winner at obviously Zivin Oaks, Group One place at a mile, and you know, you'd be with a syndicating company in First Light Racing behind her, you would have probably been a little bit stiff not to get in.
And she'd be a little bit more forward then than perhaps she would have been in previous preps?
Yeah, look, obviously the spring comes around quite quickly, so Jamie's sort of have about 3 weeks in the paddock, so still got a lot of sort of that residual fitness from last time. And look, I don't think she's probably going at her best last time in. She probably always looked wintery throughout the spring and just took a while to sort of get to her peak. And I thought she peaked quite quickly and then sort of just trained off quickly, so... this time, and you'll see her in the yard tomorrow, and she's absolutely glowing and looks quite forward as well.
So do we back her tomorrow?
Well, I think she's a good chance. Probably the barrier is going to be the key. Just a little bit sticky, and whether Damien sort of can roll forward and get into a bit of a forward position, or they all just kick up inside him and he's got to sort of go back. So that's going to be probably the telling in the first sort of couple of hundred of metres. But look, if they run along, she's definitely going to be running through the line, and I think she's a really good each way bet tomorrow.
You've got two in the Oakley plate, Zatori and Crystal Dreamer. How's Zatori prepping for this first up? And Crystal Dreamer, he's a pretty effective horse at Caulfield.
Oh, look, yeah. Look, Crystal Dreamer's performance at Caulfield is always outstanding. He's I think his win, the Lightning winner, finished behind him when he won first up. And, you know, he's not an easy horse to get past. That's the key with him. He can reel off good sectionals and can give a good kick. And when something comes up next to him, he really puts the head out and has a crack. So, look, I think his jump outs have been outstanding this time around. He didn't have a long break, so he's still got that good residual fitness. And, you know, I think he's a great chance at, obviously, a horse getting up in the weights.
Well, you won it last year with Booker. Of the two, who's your number one seed, Zatori or Crystal Dreamy? Because he's got the X factor, Zatori.
Look, he has. It's whether the 1100 up in the weights is going to be a telling factor, and obviously the speed's got a bit to do with that, and also just, you know, the way the sort of races have been run, you know, they're not making a heap of ground at Caulfield the last sort of couple of meetings, obviously due to a bit of the wind factor and a bit of this and a bit of that. So look, if they're genuine, they can make ground. He'll be hitting the line. Whether the 1100's a bit sharp, probably time will tell. So I'd probably be leaning towards Crystal Dreamer just at this stage. Just get himself into the race a bit earlier and loves the track.
And Crystal Dreamer's 50-1. Zatori's $18.
Yeah, well, Crystal Dreamer's got good form. Obviously, you know, they're 55, they're getting up that weight. So that's probably the telling factor. And you see a lot of the Oakley plates never won by the best horse in the race. I think the best ride and the one who gets the most, like, generally wins an Oakley plate. And I think you can run them 18 times, you get 18 different winners, and every year there's an unlucky story. And I think Crystal Dream will stay out of trouble where he's going to be.
Can Odeon get back in the winner's stall? Geez, honest, Miss Siska was just too strong, too good last start. How does he turn the tables?
Yeah, I just thought she had a good run. She was three deep, obviously, but wasn't doing a lot of work. They walked early, and she was able to sort of just buy his time and get going when we wanted to. I think Damien rode her an absolute treat and just kept us where we needed to. And by the time we got out, the bird had flown a bit. So doesn't look a lot of speed on paper. She'll probably leave and we'll probably sit outside her. So I think there's probably four main chances. So I just thought that he's come up ridiculous odds again, and I reckon he can run top three.
And I see you've taken out Mrs. Beckham. Everything okay there?
Yeah, well, good. We just put up a little bit jarry in the hind foot, and we just sort of wanted to treat that and get her, make sure she's 100% right. But took her to Werribee Monday morning. She worked the house down there, and a little bit disappointing on that. But there's races every Saturday for her for the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks, so not the end of the world there. And looked a lovely chance from the gate tomorrow, and looked, she was going to put herself in the right spot. So just save her for another day, but definitely she'll be thereabouts when she performs.
You got, I think, Influential Jack in as well. What's your best, do you think, tomorrow at Caulfield?
I was going to say Mrs. Beckham, but she's not running. But I thought probably Aricia looks in her right race, and probably obviously a good each way to Crystal Dreamer and Odeon.
Got a couple today. Have we got a Friday Bank Builder before Saturday?
Oh, I think Part-Time Lover will run super tonight. Good win at Bendigo, drawn well tonight. Looks at a couple of nice little chances, but I thought the way she's going up to the mile, I reckon she's going to be right in it.
$5, that'll do. Good luck, Simon.
No worries, thanks, guys.
Simon Zara joining us there.
Really well drawn, that horse tonight.
It is,
Part-Time
yeah.
Lover. She should get an absolute dream run, sort of fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere settling there, and should be peeling out and really home strong late.
That's race four tonight at the Valley. $5, Part-Time Lover. All right, the mannerism. You said before you might be wanting to take on Spanish Reef. Who is your number one pick in this race?
I'm finding it hard to split Spanish Reef and Aristia. Spanish Reef is the obvious one out of the Balmain. She was away really well. They restrained her over 1,200. She finished really strongly and was actually on the heels of the place getters going through the line. This is her time of year, Spanish Reef. She tends to race better during the summer and autumn months, and I think we're about to see that again from her. Very hard to beat, but I've just got in my mind that Aristia might be just about ready to go here. In previous preps, she's been set for races over, you know, that 2,000 metres. So therefore, first up, second up, she's just taken that little bit of time to really get fit. She's got residual fitness on her side. They're aiming up at a $5 million race, which they're now in. she's going to be more forward than she has been in previous preps for this run. And the Bivouac jump out, she finished alongside Bivouac, and then right through the line, Match Motors with Bivouac. That horse was under a better hold, but she wasn't being really ridden out. I think that's a great sign. She's going to run really, really well here. I've got her marginally on top of Spanish Reef at the price.
There's not much between them on especially that Group 1 Empire Rose run.
No.
News Girl's the fit horse on the scene.
Yeah.
Where do you rate her?
I was with her last time. I thought she'd run really well there, and Sylvia's mother unfortunately just came off her back and got her. 1400 is the nagging doubt for me. There's not great speed in this race unless the stylist gets out and gets running like she can do, and she's drawn wide to possibly come across and take up that role. Power Dreams, the other speed with News Girl. I'm just wondering how much work she does from barrier 10 to get over into an on-speed position, News Girl. I think she might be a little bit vulnerable late. I'm working with Spanish Reef, Aristia, and the next best, My Pendant, which is drawn to come outside of horses. I think that's a really big key for this horse. She's had two runs over sprint trips, and now she's out to 1,400, which is a really good distance for her. She could improve.
Right. Race 5, another good race. The Angus Arm and Asco. Acting's a favourite at $3.40. Trent Busserton, he's backing up. He declared her last start. She didn't get the best of runs.
No,
she's drawn the outside run again.
Yeah.
But I think the plan is to go straight to the front.
Why don't they?
Straight to the front.
Why hasn't she gone to the front at her last 1,200? Okay, fair enough, first up. But she should have led in the 1,000 guineas, and if she did, she may well have won. She's just dominant when she can lead and control a race, and it looks like she can do that in this race. I think she's probably the leader. The other horse that might come across with her is Lady Lupino. We saw her return to her on-speed sort of pattern in the Autumn Stakes behind Microphone. She ran well, just wasn't able to match those colts, the first three over the line. She probably comes across underneath Acting, and they settle 1-2 in the run and control the speed. Snap Dancer, we have running for the Spicer team.
Male is flying.
Yeah, she's going really well. She won a jump out the other day by 3 or 4 lengths, I think. She's put on some weight. She's got a big frame. She's always been a big framed filly, but she's starting to put on the muscle and the body now to match that frame. So I think she's in for a really, really good preparation. And she might just sharpen up a little bit, this filly. She may be a 1,400, 1,600 metre horse rather than a horse that gets out over a 2,000 metre trip. You know, out of a Galileo mare, we were that way inclined during the spring, but given the strength of that jump out, she might just shorten up a little bit her distances this time around. Hard to beat.
Score was a good run last start. Southbanks, another one that has got the 1,000 guineas form, who looks really, really strong.
Blinkers on too with Southbank, and they were very confident about her going into that. Kevin Hayes, probably too far back in an awkward spot, ran on well, was getting onto the heels late. Yeah, she could win without surprising.
And Lady Lupino, how do you think she's come back?
She's come back well. It's whether, you know, she's needed those two runs for fitness after a decent layoff, just to bring her right back to race fitness. I'd like to see her in this race before backing her, though.
So are you with Acting?
Yeah, Acting on top. Southbank's the other danger. I think that Kevin Hayes' form line will be the best form line here.
All right. That's Acting in race number 4, race number 5, I should say, the Angus Arm and Asco at 3.40. Brings us to the first leg of the quaddie and the first of the group ones, and this is the Futurity. Super Seth is at 2.80. Melody Bell is at $2.90. Colding at 3.30, and they are head and shoulders ahead of the rest of the field. Three faves, fight it out, Shark?
Probably. Not a lot of speed here. Wild Planet, Streets of Avalon lead. Casio probably sits next. Super Seth with the weight is probably going to be in the first half of the field, I'd have thought. For that reason, I'm with Super Seth. I think tactically he's positioned to be well in front of Melody Bell and Colding. We know he's got that really strong late sprint on him. He loves Caulfield. The first up win was exceptional. I think the stable were a little bit concerned about him on a wet track. Well, he put away any fears about him competing on rain-affected ground in the future. He was great there. Three-year-olds, we know, well, we're thinking how good this crop is and how strong they are. They're standing up against older horses so far. I can't see why he won't win. Super Seth on top. Melody Bell's next. I know she's got a great 1,400-metre record, but you look at her first-up 1,400-metre runs. The best horse she's beaten is the Bostonian. And that horse in Australia has probably been that second-tier Group 1, that Queensland Group 1 form. Melody Bell's better out over a mile and 2,000. I think a 1,400-metre form's a little flattering. Great mare, don't get me wrong, but this is the strongest 1,400-metre race she's contested. I don't know if Windspell, who couldn't really get busy in handicap Group 1s in Australia when it was here, is enough of a benchmark to compare to Super Seth and Co.
All right, so Super Seth on top of Melody Bell or Colding. Who's the main danger?
Melody Bell, and I think the best roughie in the race who will run a really nice race on speed is Wild Planet.
It was a good run last start.
Yeah, he was. He's rapidly improving this horse. His three-year-old form was always pretty solid, but he was a gawky sort of looking horse that was going to improve into its four-year-old and five-year-old season. He's a gelding, so we'll get to test that theory over the next 12 months. But I love that run in the Rubiton, and I think that form will stand up really well in an Oakley plate.
Potting Blackheart Bart?
Potting Blackheart Bart? No, I'm not potting Blackheart Bart. He's got a brilliant Caulfield record, and his Lark Hill trial was good enough. He's in the game.
I'll tell you who else has got a brilliant Caulfield record, and that is Team Snowden, especially when it comes to the Diamond. They've also got a red-hot chance in the Oakley plate with Anna Heaton. It's always great to have a chat to Paul Snowden, who... Paul is chasing his second win in the Diamond, his old man, I think, is chasing... Is it his third or fourth? Paul will know off the top of his head. How are you, Paul?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well. How many Diamonds has your dad won? Sepoy, Earthquake, and Pride of Tobias. So it'll be the fourth one that he's looking for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's correct. Hopefully we can get it done.
How do you compare rulership to your previous Diamond winners? I suppose nothing can really compare to Sepoy.
No, he was he was quite good, wasn't he? But I think he's certainly going to be better for the experience around Caulfield. He was probably the one that we were least worried. We were the most worried about going into that race there 2 weeks ago, just knowing the fact, you know, he's a virgin that way going, and he's certainly going to improve, and I think he has done so.
Is he going to be a better horse with something to run down, with a bit of a bunny to chase, Paul?
Yeah, I do believe so. He's certainly not going to muck around there tomorrow, and that's the versatility of the horse. He's got that tactical speed that he can obviously lead, go forward, or he can sit off at good tempo. So I think we've got the best of both worlds, and we can make our own luck here tomorrow.
Where ideally do you want to see him, and then in the run?
Look, ideally off a really good tempo, he'd be probably third, fourth, fifth, something like that, but. Certainly not going out there one-minded. It's a Group 1, and look, it's important that we do get the job done with this bloke tomorrow. It's certainly going to add some value to him at some stage, and it'd be really good to get that job done tomorrow.
Any Group 1, especially a race like the Diamond's, hard to beat, but do you think the favourite is your main danger after that titanic battle last start?
Well, of course, but I've got to say, I think... Now, we weren't running through the line like he was, so I think it was just a bit of inexperience. Like I said, first way going, horse shot clear, a long way from home, and a bit of alligator blood in the spring. Just didn't see the horse coming as quick as what he did, but I've got no doubt our horse is as good as what he is, that's for sure.
What about Anna Heed? Talk to us about this filly. Her form, I was looking at her form going into that last race saying, OK, I want to see her do it right on top of the ground and go and put a field like that away. Gee, she did. Must give you super confidence now with that weight going into an Oakley plate.
Yeah, look, just the versatility she has got is she can handle a wet track just as good as what she does on a dry. So that's no problem. But she's got a great fresh record. All the runs have been... very good early in a preparation, and then off the back of a fresh, and she can somewhat peak again. So I've got to say she's trained on Lovely, just the reports during the week. And see her on a trotting up earlier in the week, it's been really pretty to watch. She's certainly trained on. She's a lovely filly, and just that weight advantage, that no weight on her back. She's an on-speed runner. It really suits Caulfield to some degree.
What do you do from 15? She's a speedy filly. Do you try and cross them?
I don't think I have to. I've got full of muscle inside us, and another on-speed runner escapes me the name from memory, so I think it's drawn just outside her, but they should pave the way for us to get across, hopefully quite nicely, and we can see in the first three or four quite comfortably.
If you're going to back one of your two Group 1 runners and be most confident, who would it be?
Rulership, just for the, you know, if we drew a better barrier with Anna Heat, you just think she'd get across in that better spot with less effort, but I think the barriers have swung me Rulership's way.
Anything in Sydney we should be backing?
Look, I've got three runners. Blazer Trail Resumes in the Silver Slipper. He's an exciting horse. Obviously beat the favourite there when they last met in the Golden Gift. We were a 4.40 chance. It was about a 20-to-1 chance we beat at home. So tomorrow it's $1.50 and we're about $8. I don't understand that. But, yeah, look, he's certainly going to improve from his next run. He'll be third up into a slipper, so he'll have another run in the Todman, I'd imagine, but he's certainly going to make his presence felt there tomorrow. I think the best horse that's probably waited to win tomorrow is Spending to Win. I think the distance is ideal, the barrier's no worry, and the track's not going to be a problem. So I think he gives himself every chance as well.
Could be a big day for the stable, mate. Look forward to seeing you at Caulfield.
Go on, yeah. See you guys.
Paul Snowden. Two massive Group 1 chances.
Huge.
We have spoken about the Diamond. Just recap your numbers for the listeners.
Hanseatic, Rulership, Personal, the three in the quaddy.
All right. And let's take our last break. And when we come back, we'll look at the Oakley Plate and at the Peter Young Stakes. And I'll get your tip in the Hobartville as well. Friday Form Focus with the Shark.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We are up to the Oakley Plate, one of the great sprint races on the Australian calendar. And tomorrow's edition is certainly right up there with the best. Is it the three-year-old Anna Heed who will get the cash? We just heard from Paul Snowden, who seems reasonably confident, drops in weight. Or will it be the three-year-old Bivouac who has to carry quite a big weight for the three-year-olds, 55.5 kilos? He's into $2.60, Bivouac. Anna Heat is at $6, and then we're down to Pippi at $8.50. The last three-year-old filly to win an Oakley Plate, who do you think it was?
Three-year-old filly?
Mm.
I don't know. Who? Tell me.
We have to go back.
We're running out of time.
Miss Cornacova.
Really I reckon I backed that. That was only about 2001.
That's it. Yeah. Well done. All right. Who wins the Oakley Plate?
I'm backing Bivouac. I love him. I reckon this is a perfect race for him. He was utterly explosive, winning first up at Caulfield during the spring. He's a Group 1 winner. He's from that great group of colts. He's beaten the best of them. Yes, 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 and exceedance. I think he is fairly weighted in this race, given his record. I know it's an Oakley Plate. You know, hopefully we get a little bit better than that price, but I think it'll be dependent on the way punters are travelling on the day. I am backing him to win. I think Trope has to go in your quaddie. I think Bold Star is the best roughie, that gentleman whose name escapes me from earlier on. Yep, I wouldn't talk you out of backing that horse each way, probably more the place. Free of Debt also goes in my quaddie. It's got that three-year-old form line, great run first up. Super Seth just ran him down late, but he's got no weight. He'll be up on speed, trying his little backside off. Really good race, 3-7, 16, 18 for the quad.
3-7, 16 and 18. I should have got your numbers for the Diamond in the quad as well. Just recap those numbers that you're putting in for the quaddy.
For the quaddy in the Diamond, now my computer doesn't want to play. 2-7 and... Oh, no, sorry, that's wrong. 2-5-13.
2-5 and 13.
Is that Rulership 5? I don't know.
Rulership 6.
Up. Sorry, 2-6 and 13.
And 13. Just the three in the Diamond. All right, Bivouac. You happy to play at 260?
Look, if I have to. I'd like to see a little bit better, obviously. If he was near a 2-to-1, I'd be stoked. But we'll see how I'm going on the day. If I'm winning, of course, 260. Huh.
And you're putting Free or Dead in, despite the car park.
Yes. He's got the right form lines. You know, car park, it's not a bad draw, the wide draw at Caulfield over the 1,100. It's actually not bad. He's a fast horse. He should be able to offset that a little bit early. He's a Blue Diamond runner-up, third place getter. He was great in the Manfred. Yeah, throw him in. He's a big price with 50 kegs on his back.
No Pippi?
No pippy.
All right. Good push from Kieran Ray yesterday too at a big price, and Dino gave it a good chance as well. All Too Royal at $26.
Yeah. I definitely see the horse running a place. I think there are better horses as winning chances in the race. So it's a great race for a try or a first four. I think Anaheed and Bivouac as main winning chances, and then I'll be playing with a few roughies around the likes of All Too Royal, Bold Star, Anjana, Free of Debt, you know, just trying to get a little bit of a result.
All right, we'll whip through the last. Kingsville Dreams, a $2.50 favourite. Regal Power's interesting runner over from the west. Miss Siska was enormous first up, and Constantinople first up as well since the Melbourne Cup. Who do you like in the Peter Young?
Well, I'll probably get the sack if I tip against Kingsville Dream, either that or lynched by his many, many owners. So, yeah, I think Kingsville Dream can win the race. He was great first up. A little bit of rain around will only help him. I don't envisage it being a fast, good three, although it is 30 degrees. I think there'll be enough given the track to suit him.
Is it 30 tomorrow?
I think it is, yeah.
No.
I think it's 30.
No, maybe 22.
I don't know about that. Is it 30? Sunday. Someone told me it was 30. No. Is it 30?
Someone's pulling your leg.
No.
Not 30 tomorrow.
Well, there you go. That's even better.
You could have rocked up in your shorts.
No, I don't wear shorts to the races.
Regal Power?
Tomorrow.
Regal Power?
Regal Power, yes, goes in the quaddie.
All right. Give us your numbers in the last.
Last leg of the quaddie. We're going 2, 3, 5, and 8. Harlem, the best roughie.
Really? Okay. Harlem with Ollie on board. 2, 3, 5, and 8. Give us your best of the day at the Heath.
Oh, gee. Best of the day. You know what? I'm going to back Spend to beat Pandemic. I know that might be a bit silly, but that's what I'm doing. And Bivouac. I'm going to back Bivouac too.
All right. We ran out of time, unfortunately. You get to Richard Litt. The Hobartville looks brilliant. Microphone or Castle Vecchio? Who do you like in the Hobartville?
On a wet track with the run under his belt, Microphone.
Yep. He's at $3. James Cummings was pretty confident as well. Sharky, good luck tomorrow. We'll see you out there at Caulfield.
Good luck to you, Michael.
Don't forget, we will be live out there with Peter Mooney and Matty Stewart between 10 and 12, talking to all the major players before Ned's Blue Diamond Day. We'll take the 10 o'clock news after that. We'll find you a winner on Friday.